The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of the covenant, in the mystery of the cross, you promise everlasting life to the world. Gather all people into your arms and shelter us with your mercy, that we may rejoice in the life we share in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. So, Cameron, come on up here. So, why don't you sit right there so I can see your beautiful face. If you were a baby dog, what would you be called? A puppy. If you were a baby cat, what would you be called? No, not the name of the animal, but just the general description. A kitten. Okay, if you were a cow, a baby cow, what would you be?
A calf.
A calf, right. Okay, let's get harder. If you were a baby fox.
A kit.
A kit, right. You're smart. If you were a baby horse. A pony would be kind of right, but there's another word.
Foal.
A foal. You got some help from a teacher over there. Okay, here's a hard one. A baby hippo.
Baby hippo?
Uh-huh, baby hippo. What's a baby hippo called?
No.
A baby hippo would be called a baby hippo. But there's another name for it, too. It's called a calf, just like a cow, a calf. Well, you know what happened a couple years ago? A hippo had twin calves and at the zoo. And the zoo wanted to name Salted Almond or something else. They wanted to name these two baby hippos, these two little calves, but the mom was keeping those little babies so close, the people at the zoo couldn't tell if it was a girl calf or a boy calf, so they didn't want to give them names, because, you know, they didn't want to name a calf Tammy if it was a boy, so... You have great names for them? Well, they didn't know if they were girls or boys, because mom was keeping those little calves, well, big calves, so close to her, protecting them. Well, moms take care of their babies and protect them and keep them safe. And today in your Sunday school, you'll hear about Jesus telling a story, and he says, I'm like a chicken with my little chicks, keeping my little chicks safe. I want to keep my little chicks all safe. And we are like those little chicks that God wants to keep safe and warm and take care of. So you'll hear that story when you go to Sunday school. You name the boy hippo what?
And then the boy hippo, Squeako.
Squeako?
And the girl hippo, Squeakette.
Oh, Squeako and Squeakette. Those are beautiful, but I don't think hippos squeak. I don't think hippos squeak at all. Cameron, would you carry the Bible out when you go off to Sunday school? And I think Connor's going to go to Sunday school with him. You going to go to Sunday school, Connor? Okay, off you go.
Jesus was a little
A reading from Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my home is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
second reading is from Philippians. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. So little Patty was very busy at work with her crayons and her paper, waiting for Sunday school class to begin. So intent was she on her work that the teacher had to ask, "What are you working on, Patty? What are you drawing?" And she looked up, glanced up, a picture of God, and then went back to her work. Well, the teacher looked and said, "Well, you know, nobody really knows what God looks like." And she said, "They will when I'm done." Patty's picture could join the many images of God that show the different aspects and dimension of God. Today's scripture gives us several images of God. Look at the drawing on the front of the bulletin. God says to Abram, "Do not be afraid." God's arm of protection. God says, "I am your shield. I am the promise keeper." And then from Luke's gospel, Jesus says, "I'm the mother hen who gathers her chicks under her protective wings." Patty's drawing of God could be a shield, or a cross, or a chicken. All images of God. Lent is a good time for us to pay attention to images of God, to our own image of God. What you would draw on that paper if you were to draw a picture of God. Every once in a while, but not too often, we hear a story from Scripture where God is having a conversation with someone. Abram is one who heard directly from God. And today's passage from the book of Genesis is one of those conversations. In this story, we get more of a challenge to God on just how realistic are you being in describing Abram's prospects in such glowing terms. And no matter how often God makes this promise, Abram just does not see how this is going to work out at all. Right now, the only person who stands to inherit from Abram is one of his servants, Eliezer, from his household. So God takes Abram outside and he says, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield. Look up at the heavens and count the stars if you are able. So shall your descendants be." I grew up in the Midwest where at night, because it's dark in the city, you can really see a lot of stars. And my roommate from graduate school was on vacation with me, and we were out in the western part of South Dakota, and we were camping. And the stars, there isn't a little space between. It's just all stars, gorgeous stars. And Kathy would not come into the tent, would not close her eyes. She just couldn't believe it. She said, "Where did all of these stars come from?" She grew up in New York City and had never seen stars except at a planetarium. Because of the light of the city, you just can't see it. They're there, but you just can't see them. And God says to Abram, in this kind of beautiful night sky filled with stars, "Count them. That's how many your descendants will be. I've got a plan," God says to Abram, "and you're part of it. You're part of the plan that I have." And then we get that covenant ritual that is described in this passage that is very strange to our Western 21st century ears. It's hard for us to understand this odd ritual. But if we focus on the first few words of this passage, the beginning of this encounter between God and Abraham, we see the real meaning of this. Do not be afraid. Down through the ages, from Abraham and Sarah, through the centuries and cultures, we hear, "Do not be afraid." Not only that, but we get the reason not to be afraid. It is the promise that God is in charge, that God is with us, God will be with us, God is at work underneath everything. So no matter how things look right now, you can be assured that God is good all the time. And trusting in these simple words, no matter what, this is our starry vision. "I've got a plan," God says to you. "And you are part of it." I think this is a very important message for us to hear today, and especially for our Muslim siblings to hear today. "Do not be afraid," says the God of Abraham, our common ancestor in the family of God. Our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, wrote a letter on Friday, and I want to share that letter with you. "Dear church, today we woke to the devastating news of the mass shootings in the two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand. We join in mourning for the people who were killed and wounded, and for their families, for the first responders and grief counselors, and for all whose lives have been shattered today. We know that God is present in the midst of their suffering. We know that our own Muslim neighbors here in the United States are also experiencing grief and fear. Many will wonder whether it's safe to attend Friday prayers today. These are not the kind of questions that any of us should have to ask ourselves as we seek to live out our religious commitments. Yet, devastatingly, this is also the reality that binds us together as a people of faith. As I wrote last November in the wake of the Tree of Life shooting, hate filled violence knows no bounds. Whether a Sikh temple in Oak Creek, a Christian church in Charleston, a Jewish synagogue in Pittsburgh, and now these mosques in New Zealand. Together with our ecumenical and inter-religious partners, we stand shoulder to shoulder in condemning hatred, bigotry, racism, and violence whenever and wherever it occurs. We do so because all people are made in the image of God. Therefore, as an act of neighborly love, I urge you to reach out to your Muslim neighbors today and in the days to come to ask how you might offer solidarity and support, joining whenever possible with other ecumenical and interreligious neighbors. I leave you with the words of Psalm 16, verse 1. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. This is my prayer for our Muslim neighbors, for the people of Christ Church, and for all who mourn and are afraid. May we see in this devastation the possibility to be Christ's presence with our neighbors in the world, to be present in their suffering, and to be partners in God's justice and peace. And it's signed in peace, Elizabeth Eaton, presiding bishop of the ELCA. So God says to us, I have a plan, and you are part of it. In some ways, that sounds too good to be true. How do you hear that message when you're scared? How do you hear that if you were a Muslim today? Or when you're in the midst of chemo, or chronic pain, or suffering post-traumatic stress disorder? How does this promise sound to someone who's living in Venezuela, or Syria, or sub-Saharan Africa? How does one hear this news when their life is a mess and filled with so much bad news? How did that old couple, Sarah and Abraham, hear this news to provide heirs, this promise? This was not, is not, just a good feeling or a sense of optimism about the future. Israel long remembers and repeats this good news, this message, this promise that comes directly from God and shapes the expectation of people, the shape of the image of God who will be faithful. Because God was faithful in the past, God will be faithful in the future. Do not be afraid, Abraham hears, and we hear today. No matter what we face, no matter how vulnerable we feel, no matter the dangers or whatever looms ahead of us, this God is a God who has a plan and who wants Israel and its many descendants. And we are part of that plan. We are part of that number, so numerous, more numerous than the stars. God wants us to be part of that plan, to be a blessing to all nations, not just for ourselves, but for the others, for the world. Today in this Lenten season, we hear this ancient story of who we are and where we came from. And naturally, we try to find our place in this story. The beginning of Lent is a good time to reflect on the barren places in our lives and to move into an attitude of trust in God, even in those places of emptiness and doubt, even in the midst of wilderness and desert times, even in the midst of terrorism. God is doing a new thing, and we hear that. And we really want this promise to be true in spite of the evidence to the contrary. War and hate crimes, illness and addictions, hatred and terrorism. There is so much to fear and so little to count on. And then we hear these words, do not be afraid. I am your shield. And from Jesus, that longing, that deep cry of love for the children of God, how often I have desired to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks. These words fall upon our ears and our hearts like healing balm that not only heals, but strengthens us for the work that lies ahead of us. The call that we hear in claiming who and whose we are is a call to be a blessing to all the nations of the world, to be part of Jesus' brood, to be a part of God's plan. We hear throughout the Bible that the God of mercy and grace is indeed the promise keeper, and because of that, our proper response is to step out in faith into the future that we cannot imagine, a future that we believe belongs to God, to risk anything, everything, to be a blessing to all. This afternoon, I'm going over to Balboa Park to pray with and for the Muslim community and with other interfaith brothers and sisters. Come and join me. Meeting at the fountain. I don't know which fountain, but, you know, hopefully we'll find out which fountain. Natural History Museum, up right up there. At 6 o'clock tonight, just a prayer for peace, a prayer for protection, a prayer for listening to the promises of God. Come along if you can. God, our shield, our promise keeper, our mother hen, do not be afraid. Trust me. I'm right here. I'm in charge of the future. We're called not to just talk the talk and keep these things in our head. God invites us, give me your heart and walk with me. Look up at the stars and look at your life with different eyes. God invites us to be chicken. Listen to Jesus' invitation and abide in God's love and embrace. The invitation is to recognize the coming of God among us, to hear the longing and the seeking and the searching of God. It's an invitation to hear anew the promise of God and of God's love for us. We're invited to move beyond our fear, beyond our resistance, beyond our racism, beyond our exclusion and isolation, to move beyond these things that keep us from love, to move to grace and forgiveness and the mercy of God. God, our shield, our strong arm, our mother hen, our promise keeper, God longs for us and desires us to be God's children and to find ourselves at home with God forever, being a blessing to all faiths, to all nations. Amen.